You're listening to Radio Diaries. This is Joe, and I have some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Ear Hustle is back with a new season. Hosts Nigel Poor and Earlonne Woods are bringing you unique, surprising stories from four California prisons. This season, they have some truly interesting perspectives. You'll hear from people who are so comfortable in prison that they no longer want to be free. And you'll hear from mothers of inmates about the complicated reality of having adult children in prison. The show is full of candid interviews and thought-provoking conversations, and it just keeps getting better. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts and at earhustlesq.com. This episode of Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. We also have support from Indeed. Finding new hires shouldn't feel like a second job, and that's why Indeed only matches you with quality candidates that fit your job description. Indeed makes hiring more organized. You can screen, message, and schedule interviews with candidates all in one place. So try it out. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/diaries. Just go to Indeed.com/diaries right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Radiotopia. From PRX.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. Today's show, There's No Place Like Home. An estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants live in the United States. Over the past month, the Trump administration has unveiled plans to arrest and deport large numbers of them. Under Obama, close to 3 million immigrants were deported. Trump is trying to do it even faster and with fewer restrictions. Undocumented immigrants have long been an easy political target, especially those who have committed crimes. But like everything, the individual stories are always more complicated. In 1999, I met Jose William Weasel Soriano. Everybody called him Weasel. Weasel came to the U.S. from El Salvador at the age of 5. He had a pretty typical American childhood in Los Angeles. But as a teenager, he joined a gang and started getting in trouble with the police. Congress had just passed tough new immigration laws, making it easier to deport residents with criminal records, and Weasel got deported back to El Salvador. He was 26 years old, and he hadn't been to El Salvador since he was 5. He had no memories of the country, no close family there, and he'd forgotten most of his Spanish. Soon after he was deported, I gave Weasel a tape recorder to document his first year back in El Salvador. This is Weasel's diary.
What's up? My name is Jose William Weasel Soriano. They call me Weasel. I've been having that nickname ever since I was a kid, so I've had it for a long time. Let's see. Here we go. Dialing out of the country right now. 01818150. I'm 27 years old. I live in El Salvador. I've been here a year and a half. It's ringing.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Flor, what's up?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
My goodness. Where are you?
I'm in El Salvador. Where else? I just wanted to talk to Mom, and see how she's doing. All right.
My mom's
cool, man. My mom's name is Esther. Esther. And I have her name tattooed on me. Like with a little rose.
Hi, mijo.
Mom.
¿Cómo estás, mijito?
Bien, mom. ¿Y cómo estás, mom?
Yo estoy bien. Corte, lo vamos a ir a ver.
En la corte.
I'm the youngest of 7 kids. I come from a close-knit family, you know?
we're used to being around each other, you know. My mom's in LA. She lives in Burbank. My sister's in Burbank. All my nieces and nephews are in Burbank. My brother's in North Hollywood. And here I am. She's telling me she likes me to call her up and tell her that I'm doing all right because then she feels all right. Bueno, mom, ya me voy, okay? Te quiero mucho. No, estoy muy bien, mom. I love you, mom. Okay, bye. I got this document right here. It says my full name. And it has a little box right here that's checked. And it says deportable under section blah blah blah. Removed from the States. Anyways, the bottom line is that I've been banished from the U.S., you know. Like they used to do in the medieval days. They used to ban fools. I went to kindergarten in L.A., elementary school, junior high school, high school. I grew up singing, you know, My Country Tis of Thee. You know, that little song, America the Beautiful. I learned, you know, pledging allegiance to the flag. And, you know, I grew up with all that, you know. Here they are, you know, 20-something years later, kicking me out. Okay, we're on route to San Jacinto. This is the number 5 bus going to downtown. These are like old school buses from the United States that they send over here, paint them up, and they use them for public transportation. Everybody's looking at me weird. Because I'm like wearing glasses, headphones, I got this microphone. I'm just looking at the people, all the little shacks. There's these little shacks on the side of the road. It's a trip right here. Well, maybe I should tell you a little bit about when I first got here. Damn. As I was driving to the city, from the airport, it was hot. I would just like look to the side and see just little adobe huts, shacks. And I was like, no, I ain't staying here, man. This is crazy, man. I ain't gonna live like in no mud hut, you know? It was like if they set me back like 200 years, man, I was like, they might as well have put me in Mars. We're pulling over now. Okay, here we are. We're in San Jacinto already. These streets we're walking on, this is where I first came when I got deported. I didn't know anybody in El Salvador because all my relatives are in the United States, you know. So, got a hold of one of my dad's distant cousins, you know, that he hadn't seen for like 10-20 years. She gave me a break and let me stay here, you know. Hola. ¿Cómo está, tío? Gordito. Hola. When I first got here, everybody thought I was a weirdo, you know. They didn't even believe I was from here because I had such a tough time speaking Spanish. I speak Spanish, but a different Spanish, you know. We're walking in the door. I stayed in that room right there. It's, it was like a storage room. I'll open this door here. Pero no hay luz aquí atrás, ¿verdad? Damn, there's no light here. When I first got here, I looked at the place where I was gonna stay and I said, this is it. Cause I walked in and all I seen was like pieces of wood, like nailed together and the house was made out of concrete, but it was like all dark. The toilet was like in the middle of the yard. It was like a little outhouse. It was just like nothing I was used to, you know? I spent the night in this room. The first day I was there, I was almost falling asleep. And a big old cockroach. That sucker had to be at least 3 inches. Fell right on my chest, man. And I just jumped up. I grabbed at it and I just threw it. And I heard it. That's how big it was. I heard that sucker fly across the room. Boom, hit a wall. And I heard that sucker actually run away. It was a trip, man. When I was like in the, third, fourth grade, my teacher like sent me to get like an IQ test, and they recognized me as gifted and talented. My parents telling me like, you're intelligent, you know, you're gonna be a doctor, a lawyer. But you know, things happen when you're growing up, you know, and you get caught up in other things, you know. My criminal history started when I was a juvenile. I'm kind of a short guy, you know, I'm not too tall. But I was like a little tough kitty. I got into the gang when I was like 14 years old. I was into drugs and violence and stuff. Auto burglary, you know. I was living a crazy life. So I was just hanging out with my homeboys one day and had a little gun, took it. Little 25, I think it was, 22. I don't know. We're cruising in this neighborhood, seen some people. Driver pulled over, me and the other guy walked out. Went up to the people, told them, you know, it's not worth it, man, give it up. So they gave it up. Their wallets, their purses, watches. So we took off, you know, went to go pawn the stuff. But as we were leaving the pawn shop, boom, the cops swooped on us. Drew their guns, you know, put us all face down in the middle of the street, you know, helicopter in front of everybody, you know, big old scene, you know. Took us in, gave me 3 years in prison. Anyways, right when my time was about to finish in prison, I was out in the yard playing handball. They came and called me, an INS agent came to visit me. And I didn't think nothing of it, because I thought he was just going to ask me, like, you know, where's your green card or where's your papers, you know? So he interviewed me to prove I was El Salvadorian, right? They said, what's the national anthem? I was like, man, I don't know. What's the biggest river? I was like, what? I told him, look, man, I don't know nothing about El Salvador. I've been in this country for over, you know, 20 years, man. I don't know nothing about that country. He was all pissed off because I didn't know what the biggest river was. I mean, I grew up in LA, you know. Longest river there is LA River, you know. Anyways, the bottom line is that they said they seen a pattern of criminal history and criminal activity. They felt like, you know, there was no chance for me, that I couldn't change, and that's why they deported me, you know. The longest river here is Rio Lempa. The Lempa River, and it goes all through El Salvador. Well, I know that now. Right now, we're driving through, making some bus stops. This is like MS territory, and about like four or five blocks down, we're gonna enter a different gang territory. This is a little paragraph in a tour guidebook. It says, on your own, El Salvador. And there's a little paragraph here that's kind of highlighted. And it says, gang trouble. Gang violence in the cities like LA and New York has spurred the US government to deport many of its worst offenders back to their native countries. For some Salvadorians with a history of violence and arrests, that means a return trip to El Salvador. So this isn't a guidebook. I feel like I'm a tourist, a permanent one. We're at this place. There's Mexican food called Que Taco Garabato. I've tried the tortas here. They're excellent. I recommend them a lot. I'm gonna try a quesadilla today.
Oiga, me puede traer otro agua de Jamaica, por favor. Gracias.
Now that I accepted that the fact that I have to stay here, I started changing a few things, you know. I've had a lot of help from like my family, you know, my cousins. They make furniture here, they're carpenters by trade. I work with them, you know, for no pay. I didn't mind considering the fact that I was a criminal and I got deported, and Dad heard a little bit about my past, you know. Considering all that, they still let me stay. You know, I really appreciate it, but, you know, now I live out on my own. Oh, the food's here. A little chile right there. Damn, the food looks delicious. You know, when I came back here, I remembered a few things, like foods that I hadn't smelled or tasted like for years, and I tried it and I go, hey, I know this flavor, you know? And then bam, I remember this flavor when I was a kid. I mean, it's like trying to remember a dream, you know? It's like fuzzy. You only remember like little pieces.
As you can see, I'm talking with my mouth full.
We'll take a little break here, savor the delicacies, get back at you in a few minutes. Out. Where I live right now, actually it's a good looking place. Got a high ceiling, it's pretty big. My room, I had it all painted. I did like some graffiti style spray paint, like artistic stuff. Anyways, right now I'm just playing some music. Pedro Infante is a Mexican ranchera singer. My dad, he used to like Pedro Infante. It's just something about the music that brings back a lot of memories. Got a little black photo album in front of me right here. Okay, there's a picture of me in fifth grade. I had long hair. I had a Pink Floyd shirt on. Wearing Vans, you know, Levi's. There's a picture of my brother skateboarding. We had a half pipe in my backyard. You know. Those are some memories, you know. I guess like my closest relationship that I had would be with my brother. He's 6 years older than me. And he took care of me a lot. I remember this one time we're hanging out and there was these two real pretty girls. My brother was already a teenager, you know. He was trying to make out with this girl. And I liked her friend, you know. So I tried to do the same thing my brother did. So I try to kiss a girl. And she popped me in the mouth and busted my lip, and I started crying. And I remember my brother, like, he was just like hugging me, holding me, telling me, "Hey, shh, be quiet, come on." You know, cleaning the blood off my lip with his shirt. You know, I don't know, for some reason, I always thought I was smarter than my brother. I mean, I spoke better English, you know. I had better skills, like math skills. But my brother, he always did the right thing, you know. My brother's the LA sheriff. And me, you know, I'm the convict, you know. He did good things, you know, I did bad things. My brother joined the army, I joined the gang.
¿Qué pasó?
What's up?
What's this game called?
I don't know the name of it, eh?
Hey, you got Beatles here?
Yeah.
Alright, we're gonna play the Beatles right now. Oh shit, it's a little loud. Got the Beatles playing in the background. Just relaxing right here in the billiard. Brand new billiard. There's fluorescent lights. It's cool, man. It's like a place in the United States. Oh, the chalk? Where's the chalk at?
I don't know.
Well, when I first got here, I didn't know anybody. So one day I seen two guys in the distance, like dressed like LA style, like baggy, and I said, those guys ain't from here, you know. Right out the back, I knew they weren't from here. And as he got closer, I said, "Damn, I know that fool. He looks familiar." And he got closer, and I said, "Yup, that's him." And I told him, "What's up, fool?" You know. And he looks at me. He's like, "Damn, damn." He couldn't stop saying "damn," you know. He was just like, "Damn, what's up, man?" He goes, "You're from here?" I said, "Yeah, man. Well, I got deported, man." You know, he's like, "Damn, me too, man. What's up? Damn." I see you got a little more, a couple of tattoos. You got one on your arm, like by your elbow. What does that say right there?
It says, "Pokey, rest in peace."
I see you got a real nice one in your leg. Eh? Some real good work. Who did that work? Just kidding, I did it. They make you dress like this to go to work? I ran into other guys I know from prison. And, you know, they're doing all right. There's Edgar. He did some prison time. He got deported. Alex. Frank. Rabbit. It didn't matter that he had kids that were U.S. citizens. They deported him anyway. They split up his family. Ringo has kids too, a little daughter. They're like my second family, you know. We're out in the main street now. Walking by the mariachis here. I'm gonna go see what that's like right now.
Here they come, watch out.
Here they come. Oh, you house. Did it now, man. Chiquita, chiquita. It's weird, but in a way I'm glad, you know, I'm not in LA. Over there in Los Angeles, a lot of guys are dead, doing life in prison, or just lost in drugs, you know. I feel lucky because I'm alive still, you know. I'm just through with that lifestyle, you know. I'm doing good. I'm working. I'm doing the best I've ever done in my life. You know, damn, I feel more alive now, you know. I woke up, eh? I just snapped out of it. I feel like I've been given a second chance.
Ahí me quedo paisano, ahí en mi pueblo dorado.
Ahua, ahua. There we go.
Here I am in my living room. I got this video, you know. It's a tape that my family recorded. Let's see what's on here. There's Burbank where we live. I see the main street right there, Victory. The apartments where my mom lives and my sister lives next door. I'm gonna turn up the volume a little bit. There goes my mom. She's smiling all goofy, making faces at the camera. She's all nervous. She doesn't know what to say. And my mom says that she sends me hugs and kisses and that she loves me. She misses me. I haven't seen my mom for like over a year, year and a half. I know I'm gonna see her soon, but as for me to go live with her and just like be around her, that's impossible now. I imagine it, man. Damn. Seeing my mom, you know, hugging her, like feeling the love that she generates, you know, like damn. Having a meal with her, you know, talking to her, laughing with her, seeing my family. I'll be 47 years old by the time I'm eligible to go back. 47, man. I don't think I might even want to go back at that age. My mom ain't gonna live no, you know, she's 66 right now. She's not gonna live no 20 years, man. It's fucked up.
I love you.
Will I miss
you? Call me.
Me too.
I see you soon.
I see you soon, man. That was the end of the tape. Everybody's happy in the video. They're all telling me they miss me. They love me. You know, that's really good, you know, to hear once in a while. Especially if it's pre-recorded, you know. You could always play it again and again.
Noches negras de mi vida, que mataron.
Well, we got a few minutes left. Before I close, I just want to say what's up to all my familia. Let you all know that I'm thinking of you, and I don't want you guys to worry, because I'm living good here. I love you, Mom. I miss you. And I know you're proud of me. That's about it. I'm signing out. It's a wrap.
Pueden arrancarme el alma, pero su recuerdo va en mi corazón.
The audio diary of Jose William Hueso Soriano, a.k.a. Weasel. Do you remember that music? Do you remember that song?
Yeah, Pedro Infante.
Weasel's 43 years old now. I recently tracked him down. He's still in El Salvador.
Yeah, you know what, 15 years, a lot happens. And living in El Salvador, a lot of it is a little bit more bad than good.
So for you, it feels like it's even more dangerous than it was 15 years ago.
It's pretty crazy. But I think for someone as heavily tattooed as I am, sometimes I feel a little safe hiding behind this character that I've evolved into. But I also have a past, you know? And sometimes your past has a funny way of catching up to you.
So do you ever think about trying to make it back to the U.S. again?
Well, I did, all right. Not the way I planned, but back in 2003, I left illegally back to the U.S. I at least tried. I got caught twice in Mexico, was incarcerated there. The third time I tried going back, I made it all the way back to California, but as soon as I got to the other side, I got picked up by immigration.
Like right away? I mean, did you manage to see anyone, to do anything everything you wanted to do back in America? Did you manage to?
Oh, man, it happened right when I just jumped over the border, got fingerprinted, my record came up, and...
Oh, man, you didn't even get to have, like, a hamburger.
Nothing like that.
Didn't see your mom, nothing.
I didn't see my mom until I was already incarcerated. I got to see her then.
And how long were you in prison for?
I did 24 months. That's what they gave me. So I did 24 months exactly to the last day.
Did there come a point where you decided to kind of give up of the idea of coming back to the U.S., or are you still thinking about it?
The only reason I don't try to go back is, man, I'm sick and tired of being locked up. And if I was to go back and get caught, man, I'm looking at anywhere from 7 to 10 years. And, man, I'm already in my 40s, man. I don't want to be an old man in prison. I don't want that in my life anymore. I've had enough of that. I mean, I don't want to be here. But, I mean, I just got to put up with it.
So what do you do with that then?
I guess what's keeping me kind of sane is the fact that I have a little girl that I really love and that I really care about and that I look out for, you know, and knowing that if I'm not around, she's not going to have the benefits that she does when I'm around. Plus, I have a tattoo shop where everybody knows that I'm always there. I mean, you got to understand, I'm the type of person that adapts, so I just survive. I survive, you know, and I do it, and I do what I got to do, and that's how I get by.
Well, Weasel, you have definitely been through a lot over the last 15 years, and I hope things get a little bit easier for you.
You know, once I made a comment about a bunch of my friends being killed throughout the years, I was like, how come any of that stuff didn't happen to me? And then some guy just told me, man, you know, maybe that didn't happen to you because you were meant to tell the story. Was that you that told me that?
I don't think that was me, but I wish it was. That's good.
To let it be known how it was.
Well, I'm glad you are still alive, and Weasel, I'm glad you did tell your story.
Well, I'm glad I'm still alive too, brother.
All right, well, thanks for letting us check in with you.
All right then, Joel, you take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Weasel's Diary was produced by me, Joe Richman, and edited by Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. It first aired on This American Life. The Radio Diaries podcast is produced by Nellie Gillis and Sarah Kate Kramer. We're a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collective of 16 incredible podcasts. We have support from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Knight Foundation, and MailChimp. I'm Joe Richman of Radio Diaries. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.